It's time once again for another episode of Co-Founders Radio. Broadcasting live from the Pro Business Channel studios in Atlanta. And now, here's your host, Rich Casanova.
All right, we are locked and loaded for another amazing episode of the Co-Founders Podcast. It's actually this is an early edition. If you're tuning in 5 years from now, what we love about podcasting in our studio here in Buckhead, Atlanta, is it's evergreen. And Craig Williams, you look pretty relaxed over there, dude.
Yeah, I thought I'd try to just kind of lean back a little in my seat this time. Yeah, you don't have to worry about cameras or anything, so I can relax. I just had a nice walk from our creative space.
Yeah, we love our creative space over there. You grab some breakfast and lunch and
I had a juice for breakfast and looked at the barbecue. I had a little bit of the barbecue while I was over there. I didn't have much time though.
Well, we need to have you back as on Food and Beverage Radio, but
of course.
So we're talking all things founding, co-founding, and companies here and throughout the country and around the world as well. So let's kick off this episode. We have we're going to spotlight a company and one of the co-founders involved in that organization, Edivate. Learn a little bit more about what Edivate is doing and helping folks in the business community and beyond. They have a little bit of an international reach as well, we'll be hearing about. So, Justin Hackney, welcome to the Co-Founders Podcast Show.
Rich, it is great being here. Thank you for inviting me. Yeah.
And you're kind of a unique guest. You were actually in our pop-up studio at LeaderCast.
Right. Sure.
And, gentlemen, tell me, what's your takeaway from LeaderCast?
Go ahead.
No. First, man. I'm always talking.
I mean, come on. You can't beat the lineup
of
the speakers. The lineup was great. We had Nick Saban there.
Yeah.
Wozniak was there.
Yeah.
Wozniak is a bit of a character.
he was. Yeah.
I always feel like he always feels like the little brother to Steve. Right, right,
yeah. But to he's me. Like the big brother. He was like the one that kind of
behind the scenes. But it was great. And a great atmosphere, and everyone there was full of energy. So.
I mean, an annual event, 7,000 folks in live, and then 125,000, and we were excited to be a media partner.
Yeah, we had our superstar over there at Focus Brands.
Oh, yeah. She's Kat Cole. I mean,
something else. We love you. Shout out, Kat.
Yeah. And where's our cinnamon buns, by the way? Yeah.
Cinnamon buns?
Yeah.
They probably don't have
Cinnabons.
Them. Cinnabons. Yeah, right. Cinnabon. Yeah, exactly. Well, we haven't finished drying the ink of the contract for sponsorship.
Seems to be a theme about food here. It's that time of the day. So, Justin, before we jump into everything Edivate, tell us a little bit about your story. I know you're a big fan from Kentucky of the World Trade Center, right? You spent some time up that way?
Right. So, well, I'm originally from Savannah, Georgia.
Okay.
When I'm talking to people that aren't from Savannah,
really,
I'm from a little town called Richmond Hill, little farm town down there. Mom runs a little horse business. So and she even has a thing about little miniature animals, miniature goats, miniature horses, miniature pigs, all this stuff. So that's where I'm originally from.
Okay. Is that anywhere near Pooler?
It is.
I like saying Pooler, Georgia.
Pooler.
It
Pooler.
Is.
Pooler, Georgia.
Now, Savannah's growing.
Oh, Savannah's amazing.
It's got the water, man.
On y'all's international podcast. I mean, I'm telling you, the port is growing exponentially.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say this is because I am tied with the World Trade Center. And the World Trade Center, Savannah, is a great World Trade Center.
Wow.
And they're very focused on import-exports.
Oh, yeah.
But you're a key player at the World Trade Center Atlanta. And is there word out you're vying for position on the board is what I understand.
Right, right. People, I don't know when this podcast is going out, but maybe by the time it goes out, we'll know.
It's going out right now. It's live.
We're live.
It's live. It'll be evergreen, so it'll be archived. So.
I believe the event is on the 22nd of June. It's the World Trade Center annual meeting.
Okay.
And we're going to have a lineup of speakers as well. I believe we're going to have some government officials there giving out awards and stuff like that. So,
And you mentioned the Port of Savannah. I mean, the mayor and the governor were very instrumental in making a lot of that come into place. And before we get too much off topic, we definitely need to have you back for the World Trade Center. We've been talking
on
about
international.
Doing
spotlight. That'd be a good conversation for International Business Radio, too.
Yeah.
Ports are always considered. That was the old internet.
Yep.
Channel.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? All the information, all the goods came through ports. Yeah.
Right. So, like I said, just backing up, I come from Savannah. I come from a military family. That's how we ended up in Savannah. Okay. So I did a lot of traveling before that. And then I went to school. Or actually, let me backtrack. Sometimes I forget about this.
As a small child, yeah.
Let's
start with
when I was 18, I was a young man looking for adventure. I think like most young guys are, and I joined the Army. And,
thank you for your service once again.
Absolutely.
And I, they sent me off to North Iraq, to Mosul, and did my tour there and came back. And I had 20 years of my life planned out. And now my philosophy is a little bit different nowadays, but I had 20 years of my life planned out. I wanted to be, you know, a general in the Army. I wanted to really make it in the Army. And so I went to University of North Georgia, right up the road from here,
okay,
up on 400,
right,
in a little town called Dahlonega. Awesome town.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And, you know, I had a, I just had a sour taste in my mouth for the military in general after something like that. And so it just didn't last. And life happens, and my 20-year plan came crashing down on me. And I had to figure out where my place in the world was, and I just randomly took an international affairs class. Hmm. And so I really started falling in love with this global economy that we live in today.
Absolutely.
And that's how I got involved with the World Trade Center of Kentucky. A man by the name of Ed Webb is the president of the World Trade Center of Kentucky, and he kind of took me under his wing and showed me the ropes a bit. Also, Sherry Malkins, I have to give a shout out to her because she really she was the coordinator while I was there, and she really, you know, taught me a lot. And I quickly realized this whole thing of this whole thing called world trade and how powerful it really was. And because we don't see it,
mm-hmm.
you know, we drive around our cars and we don't realize every day that they come from Japan or wherever, and all the parts inside mm-hmm. of it come from Germany, and you know, they were assembled elsewhere. We don't see it happening, but it truly affects our daily lives, and I wanted to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always been a passion of mine.
So how'd you end up here in Atlanta?
Well, after school, I traveled to Europe and you know, lived in Europe for a little while, studied architecture in Paris, did my backpacking stint.
Check that off lived, your
yeah,
list.
Yeah, lived under, you know, camped out under bridges in Zurich and went to Oktoberfest, and that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. That is definitely International Business Radio.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So after you so run out
bring
of...
Bring it home here.
Right.
Yeah.
After you run out of money and visa, you come back into the real world, and I started working for an international trade company.
Okay.
They're a courier company. And not going to mention any names, but we were shipping biosciences, life sciences, pharmaceuticals, things like this. And and while I was there, and this was in Raleigh, North Carolina, and while I was there, I started my own house flipping business. And that's when I really started learning about website development, SEO, all, you know, podcasting, all this really fun stuff, video production. I was just bootstrapped. And when you're bootstrapped and you have this idea, you got to get creative.
Mm-hmm.
And but I still had that passion for international trade and for education. And so when I wanted to move back to Atlanta, because I really see the opportunity here in Atlanta, Atlanta is, you know, some people look at it and say, well, it's already had its day as far as the growth. No, it's still growing.
No,
and it's growing big time.
Just getting started.
Right, it's just getting started. So I wanted to move back for that reason. Also, all my friends are here, and you know, I have family here, and I have two nieces now, I want to see them as much as I can. So when I made that decision to come back, I reached out to our CEO, Gareth Jenner, who you mentioned had been on the podcast before, and our goals just aligned. And he realized that my passion for not only international trade, but more importantly, education, really come into play in this next role that I would have in this next chapter of my life.
And that segues right into Edivate. So describe, folks, when you meet somebody, Justin, what's Edivate?
What's Edivate? Well, Edivate sets up and manages corporate universities. So basically what that looks like is it's employment-related education programs. It's all online. They're accredited and they're very, very affordable. And that's what Edivate does.
So that continuing ed?
It can be. Okay. It can be continuing ed. You know, a lot of, you get a lot of questions like that. Continuing ed, or is it company training? It's more than company training.
Gotcha.
Because what we use is micro degrees. And now, you know, we've all done company training, right? Mm-hmm. And we've mm-hmm. done these, you know, learning management systems and not dogging on them or anything, but a lot of times what happens is employees will just Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And no learning really takes place.
Just hang something else on it.
And so we're looking at this continuum where on that side, you have that on one side of the continuum. On the other side of the continuum, you have really great programs. Let's look at seminars. Mm-hmm. Seminars are great. They have their place,
right?
But after 2 days, after that two-day seminar is done, the education stops.
Yeah.
And so then there's the question of, okay, are we retaining what we're learning? And that very expensive seminar that I just sent my employees to, how good did it really do? And so this is really just what we're offering at Edivate is on demand. Mm. It's evergreen. And it's a credential that your employees can take with them. And so it gives them a huge incentive to do well.
In the space of human capital, because that's really what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about world trade, that's pretty much a system that we engage each other for growth and sustainability.
Right.
But when it comes to human capital, it's very much we always have to constantly be thinking to reinvest in ourselves. And when you talk about education, especially when you mentioned the Christmas tree, we need something that's transferable because the longevity mm-hmm. with relationship to the businesses or the companies that we're with, we as human beings, and it sounds like Edivate is one that's truly interested in making sure they're reinvesting in their future, not so much in their present, because there's the possibility of you being with the company that you're with now may not be. So it has to be information and a valuable content that transfers over to other businesses. So
you're really good at segueing into other things. Is this what you do for a living?
Yeah. Something like that.
So
it's all about the core. You know? That's where I work from the core in.
So one of our biggest clients is a call center out of Guyana. Am I saying that right? Guyana? Oh, yeah. Guyana?
I've heard it say tomato, Guyana. Tomato, tomato.
Right.
Potato, potato.
I usually say Guyana, but Guyana, maybe I've been corrected before. So Guyana.
Guyana.
And they employ a lot of people. And when we made contact with them, their turnover rate wasn't where they wanted it to be. And we came in and we built an education program that was custom to their company. And we're looking at increasing their retention rate by 3 times. Mm. So if you can imagine a company that every time they turned over an employee cost them $4,000, and we extend their retention by 3 times. Wow. Now our program, now our education program, if it's successful, suddenly becomes worth $12,000.
Most definitely.
And we're only charging $190.
There you go. ROI. That's right. ROI.
That's some serious ROI.
Yeah. Right. And so that is definitely a value prop that we hound on a lot, is that price disruption. When you have a lot of these, man, and this is a topic that has been on the table. Everyone has had this conversation about tuition, the cost of tuition, the cost of education. And it's an interesting topic because you have people that have really strong opinions about it. Just this morning, I posted it was someone else's video that they've done about the cost of tuition, and the reason why it's rising is because, or one of the variables is because they're spending so much money on sports teams.
Mm. Right.
There was one school that they were spending $23 million on their sports teams. And they were only making $11 million off it. Well, someone has to pay for that gap.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's going to lie on the student's shoulders.
Well, shouldn't it be the cost of your coffee, but the investment of your education? We shouldn't be talking about cost of education. It's an investment, like you're talking about, whether it's public schools or business education. And your space, it's that retention.
Right. I mean, but cost is a huge factor
in any operation.
If you look at this, let's go back to this call center in Guyana. The end user our students right. that are enrolling in these programs don't have a whole lot of resources, if you can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, if we're going into these countries where resources are scarce.
Third world countries.
Right. It does matter a lot.
Big time.
And so can we give them an education that's equivalent to a Harvard education, right? That's equivalent to MIT. And can we get to them for free? And so our motto is higher education, lower cost. And we really live and die by that.
So talk to us about your business model. Our middle name is business. We're on a business platform. What's the scalability here? What's the, the day-to-day operations? What do you expect?
Right. And so let me back up and point out some of our competitors. Some of our competitors include Udacity, Udemy, Coursera. A lot of these companies are targeting the end consumer, okay. B2C, right?
Right.
Okay. They're targeting students to take their courses.
Right.
That takes a lot of money to market. That takes a lot of money.
That's true, yeah, to the masses.
I think it's much more efficient to target companies that are already investing, and I forget the number, but it's somewhere in the $1 billion where companies, U.S. companies alone, are investing in education for their employees. So they're already spending. It's already earmarked,
mm-hmm,
right?
Right.
Let's get them to buy into a program like this. Let's look at company training and professional development a little bit differently. And so that's what our business model is we are going out there. We're finding companies that need this sort of online education, and they need to step it up.
Gotcha. Right?
And they're going to enroll their employees in the end.
Yeah.
And that's our business model. We're not targeting the student, right? Yeah. We're targeting the companies.
Well, that's how I look at entrepreneurship and the businesses. Most of the businesses that we serve here at Pro Business Channel is we're a complement to the big business, because big business, they have the budget, so they can go after the masses, you know?
Right.
And the creativity and the innovation that comes from entrepreneurs, we have the way of, you know, like you said, disrupting what is the usual or the norm.
Right.
And so we're going to look for different avenues that will be more efficient, because they have to be more efficient, because we don't have the budget.
Right.
And we're able to be pretty much disrupt how even now they start looking at, wait a minute, we might need to look at this a little bit more different. And it takes us to help them and them to help us, in a sense. And that's how I think we stimulate the economy.
Let me ask you a question. Correct me if I'm wrong in understanding your model. Is the premise where the affordability comes into play, because you're able to offer this to companies, organizations, and so per student then the registration is much less than if I'm just buying it retail, if you will, off the street, because I'm buying it through the company, organization, they're buying multiple micro degrees or enrollment?
Well, if you look at a traditional university, they own the content. Mm-hmm. Even let's take an online university, right? They own the content. Why are you charging tens of thousands of dollars? I mean, I know why. Yeah. They spend a lot of money on marketing, right?
Yeah.
So the money has to come from somewhere. The affordability really affects both the employer and the end consumer,
right?
The student,
right?
It's free for the student. It should be.
Yeah, and it's an investment from the for the company, and it kind of keeps that loyalty for the student. I mean, hey, they gave me an education. I got an education out of this. I'm
right.
gonna stay. I mean, because that's what you're getting into, especially with the millennials. They're not going to look to work for anyone for any long period of time. They're going to get experience so they can go do their other things. So you have to create some value.
Yeah. Right. It, you know, compared to our competitors, we have the lowest cost when it comes to business solutions, by far. Anytime I mention our cost, and I've already mentioned it, $190.
$199. Is that a flat rate then? Or
let me make this clear, per year.
Wow.
Right. some of our competitors charge more than that per month.
Yeah.
I get water spit back up at me sometimes when I
right,
tell them
exactly
my price.
That spit take, like,
because what? We really live and die by our motto. We really believe that we can provide a higher education for a lower cost, And it's possible. It's just a matter of creating a business model that is scalable that does well and that people buy into.
Talk to me about this in terms of business development. Is what companies are you looking to get in front of, to reach out to? And we're based here broadcasting live from Atlanta. So are you looking to reach, start from here as the epicenter and reach out? Or what's your approach in terms of business development?
Right. So, you know, I tell people we're industry agnostic. I mean, okay. We're not looking at a specific industry and saying to ourselves, yeah, this is our niche.
Yeah.
We really focus on problems. So a company that, if you can imagine a company that's growing really fast, they don't have the time, or maybe they don't even have the money to build out an education program. Mm. They know they need to, right? I mean, after you get past that startup stage, you have to educate your employees, or else your business fails. Mm-hmm. Do they have the time? Do they have the money to build out a program? And you know, the fact of the matter is, we got a siren going around.
These are directional mics. They didn't even hear it.
Yeah. actually, what was I saying? That siren threw me off.
Well, I want to rephrase a little bit and kind of just streamline this in terms of companies that reach out to you. Mm-hmm. Where's their, not say their pain point, but actually, what type of programs are you offering? What's some examples of the curriculum?
Right.
Sales or
right.
What management training?
So we have over 9,000 different courses.
Uh-oh. never mind. That answered that
question.
So
when you ask me what kind of program, I'm actually looking at an email right now from this young lady at a company asking me to send her over a list of our courses.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of difficult. Yeah. We have over 9,000.
That's why you have that middle option, the custom micro degree.
Right.
I mean, you have to have a lot to pull from to make it custom for anyone who comes to the site. So that speaks volumes.
So new question, because that one's answered right there. The $9,000 question, or 9,000
courses.
Partners, are there folks that you partner with, or
we haven't currently partnered. What do you mean by partners? As far as for our content creation,
yeah, either that or in.
So our clients become our partners in that aspect. Okay. So if you have a company, and I'm just going to give a theoretical example here, if you have a company, say in real estate, and they want a custom micro degree built out specifically tailored for real estate agents.
Right.
They might already have existing content.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take that and fill in the gaps to our existing courses to keep the cost low. And now we suddenly have this custom micro degree for real estate agents. So in that sense, our clients become our partners.
Okay.
As far as if that's what you're asking about content creation. Yeah.
And then finally, Justin, what's next? What's next for Edivate?
Man, we are working on some cool projects. What's next for Edivate is just to get the word out there. To a lot of people, when you say corporate university, you know, it's half and half. A lot of them say, what is that?
Right.
What's a corporate university? I think this is where education is going. I think that we're going to live in the time and era where traditional you know, education, I'm not going to say sees its day,
right, yeah.
But it's, you're definitely not going to see as many in
that
the future,
classroom,
I don't think.
Right.
Right. Brick and mortar classrooms. It costs a lot of money.
Yeah, it's not cost effective.
It's not cost effective. When you see universities out here building more buildings, you know, and you have this huge administrative staff, where are the professors at?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my old school, they were cutting professors, but it seemed like we were getting more administrative staff year after year. That's not what a school is to me. So I think that there's this huge skills gap that we're facing, especially in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
How do we fill that skills? How do we bridge that skills gap? I don't think that the answer lies in traditional education, because I think traditional education is one of the reasons why we have a skills gap here in the United States.
Right.
I think at some point, companies need to take the responsibility to bridge that skills gap, because in the end, they're the ones that need it, right? And that's what's next, is getting that message across to as many companies and as many people as we can.
And that's really your mission, it sounds like.
That's my mission, is to grow this company.
Right.
I am the vice president of sales. Nice. So I'm moving the dial.
So our final question on the Pro Business Channel episode of podcast, or of the Co-Founders Podcast, is, Justin, what's a good day look like for you?
A good day, what does it look like for me? Oh, well, this weekend, I think I'm going to the lake.
Nice.
Memorial Day weekend. I think I'm going to Lake Lanier.
Nice.
Yeah. It just depends the feeling. I love what I do.
I hear that.
I love it. Every single day I wake up and I want to get going. My job is to, in the end, is to educate people that either haven't been educated before, to improve their lives. Just talking with people, doing this. I mean, this is my job. Nice. This is awesome.
Man, I wish I had your job, yeah.
Look at this view. Yeah, this is a good day for me.
Our $1 million view, yeah.
His back is to it. That's why he didn't get to appreciate it, or right. He doesn't appreciate it as much.
I have to look at these guys as my view, yeah. All right, so how would folks reach out, find out about your company, you, all that good stuff, yeah?
If you go to our website, www.edivate.com,
And spell that, because you're used to it, but for folks, yeah.
Yeah. Do I have an accent or something like that?
No, that's just around the world. It's not, I don't know that it's in a dictionary.
Right.
It's something you invented, so yeah.
It's edevate.com, and you click on Enterprise University, and I'm all over that page. Right. You could also reach out to me on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm on all the socials. If you ask me how to reach me on the socials, I couldn't tell you. You just have to type in Justin Hackney. Right, yeah. Hopefully I'll be the first one. If I'm not the first one that shows up, I'm sorry. I apologize. That is my mistake.
Well, we'll have all this on the show notes. We'll make it really easy for you.
Great. Yeah,
all the links on there.
Awesome.
All right, gentlemen, that wraps up another episode of the Co-Founders Podcast.
Great stuff.
Brought to you by WeWork.
Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining Rich Casanova and his guests on the Pro Business Channel. Use the social media links here to share today's show and stay tuned for the next episode of Co-Founders Radio.